it all flowery. If you say these big words, that's an effective prayer. That's the thing that's going to work. But the key of that is that no matter how flowery it sounds, no matter how many stock phrases you throw in, no matter how often you quote the King James Version of the Bible, there's no substance to it. You're just going through the motions. And there's even the suggestion that why do you go through and do those kinds of words? There's almost a sense that we think that, man, if we use those words, maybe we can slip a fast one into God. Maybe we'll even subtly manipulate Him into giving us. You know, like if we just ask for it plainly, you know, God, I'm struggling with my work. Can I get a new job? You know, that He's like, no, I'm not going to pay attention to that. But if we beseech the Lord and do all of this stuff, then He's going to be like, oh, yes, well, because you asked it that way, I will be happy to give it to you. It's not the way that it works. See, prayer is an essential component of a vibrant relationship with God. It's a relationship. It's not Him being manipulated by our words. Far from it. It's more often us as we take God's word, as we think about it, as we talk to Him, it's Him trying to veer us more to His way of thinking. Hey, Brian, you're thinking way off in left field. You know, come on, let me rein you back, bro. Let me get you where I need you. Let me help conform your thinking and your heart to mine. That's one of the main things that we're going to see that prayer does in the upcoming weeks. So it's interesting that when Jesus, you know, contrasts the prayer that He's going to give, that now He gives another set prayer. But it's interesting that before He does, He says, pray then like this. And I believe that this suggests that there are certain elements of prayer that He wants us to hold on to, but not necessarily the exact words. Okay? Remember, He's just warned His disciples about using set phrases, you know, using some kind of meaningless form. And so my judgment, if we're just taking the Lord's Prayer and thinking, oh, wow, this is a magical formula. I'm just going to sit down and I'm going to just say this and I'll say it, you know, 1,000 times and then God owes me something for all the times that I've said the Lord's Prayer. Now we've missed the boat and we're acting just like the Gentiles were and the hypocrites were acting. Instead, this is something that He gives us to show us the sorts of elements that He wants us to do. Now, does that mean that we can't ever recite the Lord's Prayer? No. But it does mean that if there is some value in reading it and in reciting it and in meditating upon it, it's because our mind is engaged and we're not just repeating rote words. Our mind is connected with it, and that's what makes the difference. Prayer is about having a relationship. And we can't have a relationship if we're just throwing something stock up there to somebody else. It's kind of like, imagine that a close friend of yours sends you an email message, okay? And you know, you read that message, and they're pouring their heart out and stuff like that, and you click reply, and what you send is a canned response to them that you send to everybody, right? You do that once or twice, and all of a sudden, your friend is going to be looking and saying, huh, is this guy really interested in what I'm thinking about? You know, is he even interested in our friendship? Because you cannot maintain a relationship by just sending that canned reply. Oh, you know, Bill Duncan emailed me again. Okay, you're going to send me my canned reply, and there it goes. I'm not going to build a relationship with anybody like that. We build a relationship and we engage with them. When they share things and we respond to that and we share things, we give them a chance to respond to that. There's a give and take. There's communication. There's a relationship there. So, when we get and Jesus starts the prayer, we have a couple of foundational things, and I'm just going to focus on this one phrase, our Father in heaven. Because, honestly, I could preach a sermon series, I think, just on this and everything that leads up to it, but we're almost at time, so I'm going to go through the last few points here really quick. Our Father in heaven illustrates a foundational element of prayer. It involves personal relationship with the one true God. You know, it's interesting that when Jesus says you do a prayer, you're not doing a prayer to whom it may concern. To whom it may concern, you know, would you please help me to get my job or something like that? I mean, that sounds weird to us, right? But if we think that we're approaching somebody that we know by name, or in this case, we're approaching somebody as a family member, Father, that implies that there is a relationship. Because when you think about it, family relationships are incredibly intimate relationships. You know, I mean, they mean a lot. And I'll tell you one of the things you've seen in the couple of baptisms that we've had over the last few weeks, including today, we've got family members here to support the two young people that were baptized. They're here because of them, that family tie. That's something to come and rejoice about, because that family tie is tight. It's tighter than any other relationship that we get. It's a relationship of child to parent. Now, you may, when we see Heavenly Father, if you grew up and had a great dad, then it's awesome for you to think about God. God is like even better, because even the best fathers that we have aren't perfect. Even they occasionally made mistakes, but God is. This kind of relationship that you had with your dad, the ways that he nurtured you, pulled you aside, taught you, grew you, all of those things, those are great. And if you had that relationship with your dad, that's awesome. If your relationship with your dad was rough, and honestly, in our world today, sometimes, unfortunately, that's all too common, it may be hard to think and appreciate the depth of this metaphor that God is our Father. You know, if you didn't have a good relationship with your father, God as Father may not feel very comforting. And so what I'm going to ask you to do, what Scripture asks you to do, is to use your imagination. You know, you've probably seen pictures of families where you know, father is engaged with their children and loves them. And you know, just do all the things that fathers do. Fathers gave us life, care for us, provide for us, protect us, teach us. And occasionally, because it's the right thing, even discipline us. All of those things are tied into a great father-child relationship. And that's what we need to hold on to. That's the picture that we've got, that God being our Father is that He is the one who gave us life. He is the one who cares for us in ways that our earthly parents can't. He's the one who provides for us. The Scripture tells us every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places, they're His. He can provide those to us. He is the one who protects us. He's the one who teaches us. And yes, when we go wrong, He's the one that will come and will tan our hides and discipline us. For good. That's a good thing. So God's not only a father, but we're told to think of Him as a father. We're told to approach Him as a child would their parent. You know, daddy, 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 can I have this? But we also have a Father who is in heaven. He's not just an earthly dad. He is the almighty, wise, good creator and ruler of the universe. He is the living God. That guy relates to us as a good father relates to his children. And that is such an amazing thing when you think about that. For many other, you know, religions that are out there, the way they conceive of God is the, you know, the disciplinarian. There's none of this, you know, love. I mean, you got to not take dad off or he's going to end you. They don't really, very few religions conceive of God and speak of God as father. I remember I saw a meme this last week, and it stuck in my mind because I knew that I was going to be talking about God as a father. And it was identifying the difference between religion and between the gospel. Religion is, I screwed up, dad's going to kill me. Right? Gospel is, I screwed up, I need my dad. I screwed up, I need my dad. That's the picture that we're looking at. So when we think of this, when we talk about God as Father, now, Scripture does talk in a general sense that every human being, God is in some sense the Father. He's the one who created each of us. And there's a couple of passages that talk about, you know, how you know, God is the Father of all the nations and that kind of thing. But when Jesus is sharing this prayer, he's talking about a special relationship as child to Father. Not that general one that's true in creation, because Scripture identifies God's children as those who have put their faith in Jesus Christ. They're the ones that have that special relationship with a father. And think about it, it makes sense. Okay? Now, in Scripture, it's talked about, John, beginning of the Gospel of John, we have this statement that Jesus is the true light, that he comes into the world, that he came to his own people, and his own people did not receive him. In John 1:12, it makes a contrast. It says, as many as who did receive him, to those who believed in his name, to them he gave the right to become children of God. And so there are some people who, by putting their faith in Christ, that through that relationship with Christ, they have a relationship with God as Father that is different from everybody else in the world. And that makes absolute sense. You know, there's a conditional element to this. What about the person that says, I want nothing to do with God? I don't have anything to do with him. Think about this. God, would it be right for God to force anyone to have a relationship with him or to spend eternity with him against their will? If they say, I don't want to have anything to do with you, God says, okay. So when we talk about Father, one of the things that he's talking about, one of the things that Jesus was talking about is come to me, become part of God's family. That's what we're called to do, become part of God's family. There's also a responsibility because as we, there's a responsibility for him because if he is that Father, more than the general kind of thing, but we have that relationship with him, then his children can look to him to provide. Now, Scripture puts some conditions on that, and rightly so. We have to pray as we ought to. There are some wrong ways that we can pray. There's some wrong attitudes that we can have in prayer. We have to pray according to his will. Even Jesus in the garden, you remember? It was, Lord, take this cup from me, but not as I will, but your will be done. Even Jesus could say, I really don't want what I know is coming. If there's any other way, make this work, but not my will, yours be done. So any prayer that we do has to be according to his will. We have to ask in faith, not doubting, not thinking, oh, this is a long shot, we'll just throw it out there, but to ask in faith, and we'll talk about that down the road too. And we have to accept that sometimes we may ask for something thinking that that is exactly what we want and God has a different plan. My own experience in life, I've asked for things and I really thought I wanted them. And now, with the benefit of 43 years of hindsight, I can look back and I can say, you know, I'm sure glad God didn't ask that prayer the way I wanted. He had something better for me. And when I can look back in 43 years, you know, those of you young people out there, I know you don't have quite as many years to look at, but take it from, you know, as older folk. We have seen that. Anybody else? You know, you've been there, you've seen that, right? Okay, you don't have to raise your hand, but you get the idea. God's children, we're also part of the family of God. It means that we take over the family business. It means that we're involved in the very same mission that God's other main son, Jesus Christ, was involved in. Jesus Christ came here for a purpose. He came here to help people connect with God. And that's what God's saying is, you want to be my child? All right, cool. Let's get you in the family business. Let's get you working in this. Theologian N.T. Wright, I was reading his book on the Lord's Prayer, and he had a great way of saying this. He's British, so I love him already. But here's what he says. Saying our Father isn't just the boldness, the sheer cheek of walking into the presence of the living and almighty God and saying, hi, Dad. It's the boldness, the sheer total risk of saying quietly, please, may I too be considered an apprentice son. By apprentice son, he means, can I too follow in the footsteps of Jesus? Can I too do the same things that he did? Can I too help show the world that there is a better way, that violence isn't the answer, that showing love, that seeking justice, that working to those ends is a good thing, that God's ways are better than what we see in the world around us. All of that leads to the final point that I want to make, and that is that when we think about the essence of prayer, the essence of prayer is talking to God like you would to a beloved friend or family member. No pretense, no flippancy, no canned phrases or anything like that. It is just enjoying being with somebody that you love. That's the essence of relationship and prayer. John MacArthur gave this analogy. He said, imagine spending an entire workday with your best friend at your side. You would no doubt acknowledge their presence throughout the day by introducing them to your friends or colleagues, talking about them and talking with them through the various activity of your day. And in fact, it would be very strange if your best friend was hanging out with you and you didn't once acknowledge them. You didn't once talk to them. You just let them do their own thing. Even of us who are introverts, you know, I mean, we may not talk much, but we still, with our friend with us, there's that relationship that we have. We'd be interacting with them all the time. And that's one of the reasons that when we look in Scripture, that we see over 650 prayers. People that understood that relationship with God was something that you practiced all the time. That's why we see in the example of Jesus that he habitually rose early in the morning so that he could spend time with God. And the scriptures tell us that many, many times in the evening, that after he was worn out, he would go to a private place where he could talk with God, where he could pray. It was part of his regular life. We see in the New Testament of the early church that one of the main things that they devoted themselves to when they got together, you know what it was? Prayer. You know, fellowship, breaking of bread, teaching, and prayer. That was one of the main things that they devoted themselves to. And when the church needed to organize, when it was getting big enough, we needed people to help, and the apostles looked and said, man, there's great responsibilities, but we can't handle them all. The disciples appointed other people to handle business around the church, little b business. And you know what they said? They said, the reason we're doing this is so that we can devote ourselves to prayer and the ministry of the word. They understood that that vital relationship with God is important. And that's why in the New Testament we continually see, pray without ceasing in 1 Thessalonians. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. Continue steadfastly in prayer. I could go on and on of passages that talk about prayer. But you get the idea. We have a relationship with God. We nurture that when we spend that time with Him, at times alone. You know, certainly not to come up here and to look good in front of other people, but in times that we come to Him genuinely looking to nurture that relationship, not to send a canned email response to God, but to interact with Him. Interact with His Word as we encounter it. Here's what God says to us. I'm going to think about that, and I'm going to talk with Him about that, and I'm going to have that relationship and build that on my end with Him. Because fundamentally, the God of the universe wants to be my Father. And He wants to be your Father too. I hope that's an encouragement to you. It's an encouragement to me. And I tell you, I've been a pastor now for a number of years. But this is something that I need to remember. Because like many of you, you know, when the going gets tough, I tend to start planning instead of turning to God in prayer first thing. I have that challenge as well. When stress ramps up, I don't turn it over to Him. And I'm working on that just as much as anybody is, trying to nurture that relationship with Him. So, I'm going to ask the worship team to come up and send us out with a final song. I do want to make a few quick announcements as we do. For those of you that aren't aware, during our second hour, we have Sunday school classes. This is an opportunity to connect with people in a small class setting, get to know them a little bit better, you know, that kind of thing. If you're not plugged into one of those classes, I want to encourage you, give one of those a try. You're welcome to look on the back of the bulletin or check in the app to see which classes that we've got going on. One announcement, I heard from Lucy that the young adult group is not going to be meeting today, so if you've been involved in that, all the other classes I think are going. Sarah, you guys are talking about Gospel of John still? John chapter 10, Steve's still in the book of Acts. Ed, you're still finishing up Daniel, is that right? Finishing up on Daniel today, and we're in Leviticus 19, so if you're interested in that, you know, come and join my class for that. Let me, though, close us with a word of prayer and complete our time in the Word. Father, we thank You so much that we can come to You as Father. So we don't have to put on airs. We don't have to approach You as some great sovereign and use highfalutin King James-y language to be able to have You hear us. That You love us. You sent Your Son to die on the cross for our sins, and in doing so, we can approach You on our knees as Father. You lift us up and say, welcome, child. I'm glad to have you. Father, thank You for that. I know that there are times that we as children disappoint You. And even at times in this area of prayer, we settle for canned responses instead of trying to nurture a relationship with You. It's so easy for us to get distracted and to miss what it means to have a vital relationship with You. So I pray that You challenge us. I pray that You challenge us to think about what it means that the God of the universe wants to know us. He wants to have a relationship with us. Father, I pray that that would give us the confidence to come to You, the confidence to learn more of who You are, and to pour our heart out to You, to let You work in our hearts. Mold us into the kind of men and women that You want us to be. Father, I pray that as we come and as we think about prayer, as we look at other aspects of prayer, that You would grow us, that You would help us to understand it better, that You would help us to be able to nurture and guide that relationship on our end, because we know that you are always waiting there with open arms. Father, we thank you for the two young people today who made that commitment to follow you. And Lord, I'm so excited for them. Notwithstanding that one of them is my son, but I'm excited about that too. I pray, Father, that you would be with us today in all that we do, that we would learn that secret of going through life, cognizant and conscious of that relationship everywhere that we go. We ask this in the name of your Son. Amen.